Hello, and welcome to another SearchDataManagement.com podcast. I'm Jeff Kelly, news editor. Today we're talking about the future of business intelligence with the father of BI himself, Howard Dresner. I caught up with Howard at this year's Gartner BI Summit in Chicago. The BI market has undergone a drastic transformation over the course of the last couple years, most notably in the form of consolidation. But all that consolidation doesn't mean the BI market has reached maturity. In fact, Dresner said from a technology standpoint, BI software and applications still have a long way to go. Many of this year's Gartner BI Summit attendees also have a long way to go and are only just beginning to utilize business intelligence at their companies, Dresner said. And he urged them to recognize that BI is much more than just technology. Technology, he said, is simply an enabler, and to do BI right, companies must be prepared to make a cultural and behavioral change too. In this 25-minute podcast, appropriate for executives, business, and IT leaders, listeners will get an update on the state of the BI market, including Howard's take on how well the mega vendors are doing integrating their newly acquired BI technologies, learn what types of BI innovations are likely to emerge over the next 12 to 18 months, find out what role open source will play in the business intelligence market, how enterprise performance management fits into the world of BI, and how operational business intelligence, with its promise to bring BI to frontline workers, is changing the way companies use their data. First, a little background on Howard. He's the founder of New Hampshire-based BI consultancy Dresner Advisory Services, LLC, and author of The Performance Management Revolution. He is well known for coining the term business intelligence in 1989 and spent 13 years at Gartner as lead analyst for BI. In 2005, he left Gartner to join Hyperion Solutions as chief strategy officer. Early in 2007, Hyperion was acquired by Oracle, and though Oracle offered Dresner a role, he left to start his own consultancy. We are pleased to be able to call on Dresner for his insight today. Obviously, the business intelligence market has undergone some dramatic changes in the last year with all the recent consolidations. Howard, how would you characterize the state of the BI market as it stands now?
Well, markets consolidate. That's what they do. And they've been consolidating since I got into this market 20 years ago. So no surprise there. It's certainly accelerated, and what's been driving it is not the maturity of the marketplace. The market's not really mature from a user adoption perspective. And the adoption rate and the penetration's actually still pretty low, by evidence by the number of people that are at this conference. A lot of them are newbies. Mm-hmm. Most of them are. I'd say 80% have not done business intelligence very well or to any great extent, and have never gone to this conference before. So people are still trying to achieve the notion of what I call information democracy, and they're maybe getting closer, just not all that quick. So from a user adoption perspective, not that mature. So what's driving the massive consolidations, which I believe will accelerate this year, if that's at all possible, what's driving it is growth and margin. So if you're a very large software vendor and your mainstream product line is cooling off or flattening out in terms of growth and margin, you got to find a way to goose the growth. And the way you do that is you find something that's growing faster and is more profitable than you are. And when you look at the economy, which I believe has been in recession for a while, in spite of what some of the pundits or government agencies have said, although I think they're in agreement at this point too. I think Bernanke today said things don't look so good. So we appreciate that admission. He should have read my blog on January 2nd. Anyway, having said that, in a downward economy, it puts even more pressure on everybody. So on the smaller guys, it makes it more difficult for them to do business because everybody, you know, takes a flight to safety. We only want to deal with the big vendors because then we know they'll be around. Little guys won't. So all of a sudden, it's harder for them to do business. At the same time, like I said, the large vendors, their revenue streams, tend to flatten out a little bit. The growth flattens out. The margin gets squeezed. So there'll be more consolidation. That doesn't mean that, you know, the user adoption is getting any better. In some ways, it gets more complex for the poor users. And that's really what's driving it. However, at the same time, there's a lot of innovation going on at the bottom of the marketplace. And what's different about it this time is a lot of those vendors are not catering to IT. They're focused on solving business problems directly for business management. And that's a much longer story, but I believe that is the real news in terms of what's changing in the marketplace. In the past, you would have had a new crop of vendors that would be serving IT, and IT would be looking perhaps for some innovation. IT is less willing to really look for innovation. They're much more interested in focusing on the big three or four vendors for many reasons, because they tend to be a conservative group, but also because they're losing budget. And if you lose budget, you can't deal with 20 vendors. It's too expensive. You want to deal with half a dozen or a dozen vendors across the entire spectrum of IT. Okay. So it's sort of a strange dynamic. It sort of works in many ways against the interests of the enterprise. But that's how I see it, and I think that's probably going to persist for the next couple of years.
Do you think the so-called mega vendors, SAP, IBM, and Oracle, are they doing a good job of integrating their newly acquired business intelligence portfolios? And where have they fallen short?
Well, I mean, integration is not something that happens right away. You can integrate the marketing really quickly. So you could put the new logos on the marketing information sheets. Integrating technology is hard. I mean, it just takes years, and in many instances requires re-architecting. And what you typically find is you'll find useful but surface-level integration, and that'll persist for a while, especially where there's a larger platform that has to be integrated into. Certainly that's true with SAP and with Oracle, and I guess to some degree IBM. Microsoft as well. I mean, they acquired ProClarity, and that's moving forward part of Performance Point. So it's a matter of zeros and ones in the right quantity in the right order. To do deep integration takes a long time, and the question is whether or not they really have to do deep integration. And chances are they really don't. I mean, if you look at Oracle, I don't think their philosophy anymore is to eliminate products, but to allow them to continue in their own life cycle, just as they had before, and doing whatever useful integration makes sense, because I'm not sure that the PeopleSoft customers want to move off of PeopleSoft, and the Siebel customers probably don't want to move off of Siebel. The integration, I don't think you'll see across any of these vendors profound deep integration anytime soon. I think you'll see what I would call lighter, perhaps more pragmatic integration.
What role do you see the remaining independent vendors, as well as some of the open source vendors, playing in the BI market?
Well, I think there's always a role for pure plays, and there's always going to be a preference on the part of some organizations to hedge their bets. So I think there's a viable market. The challenge that you have when you're a public company, and a lot of these guys are public companies, is that Wall Street wants to see high growth and of course growing margins. And if you don't do that, of course they're very generous. They chop you off at the knees, and then you become even cheaper for acquisition. So it's unfortunate. I think in some ways, certainly this market favors the independent and private vendors, because they can continue to make the necessary investments and not worried about Wall Street too much. We'll see whether or not they do that, but I think they're in that position to do so. But I do think that there is a viable market for the pure plays, because they tend to be the Switzerlands of applications and data structures or databases, and can be more of a force of integration across those things. We'll see whether or not they can manage to stay independent, though. My suspicion is the public ones will have a hard time doing that. But we'll see. We'll see what happens throughout 2008. In terms of open source, it's interesting. I think that probably the most likely, and certainly historically, the best consumers of open source have been other software companies. Certainly all software companies these days use some degree of open source components out there, because it's just more expedient to do so. I also think it plays to systems integrators, because it allows them, and they all have practices around open source now, it allows them to add more value than they had before, and creates greater stickiness, so they can come in and bring a solution in, and the real differentiating factor is their service and the solutions that they create around that open source. So it creates sort of an interesting new dynamic and competitive force within the marketplace, at least the way I think. And if you look at other markets outside of North America and westernized Europe, there's a growing interest in open source as well. In terms of whether or not you can make it a viable business, I think you can. It's certainly different than the traditional perpetual licensing model and maintenance model. So I don't think it's quite as lucrative, but at the same time, When you look at the price points of enterprise software, I think organizations have smaller budgets and they're probably less inclined to spend that kind of money. So open source may find a home for themselves. But right now the model is either selling, you know, the services surrounding it, so training and support for it, or using what I would call, what's a nice way to phrase it, you know, sort of a an inexpensive or a free version with limited functionality, with the opportunity to upgrade to a quote-unquote professional edition. So we'll see. I mean, I think that there's a market for it, certainly. We'll see whether or not it can eclipse the more traditional and established perpetual software license market.
What types of innovations in BI should we expect to see in the next 12 to 18 months? And from who should we expect them, the mega vendors or the remaining smaller pure players?
Well, I think most of the innovation comes from the bottom of the market, mm-hmm. you know, where there's no install base or a very small install base where, you know, you don't have to worry about existing product and existing technology and existing customers trying to pull you in lots of directions. You know, customers will do that. They'll pull you in directions that actually work against your interests long term. And you have to do that as well. So it's a tough balancing act. But little guys don't have that problem. And assuming they're, you know, properly capitalized and they have smart people working at it, sometimes they come out with some really cool stuff. And a lot of the innovation that I've been seeing has been in the area, certainly, of appliances, solutions built on a software as a service model. Visualization certainly is an area of continued investment. I mean, some of these things like visualization we've been working on forever. Mm-hmm. And I've seen some organizations starting to refocus on some of the in-depth analytics, but in a way that makes it a little bit easier, as well as real-time. You know, when I was at Gartner, we came out with this body of research, I think it was in 2002, proclaiming, you know, business activity monitoring as the future of BI and making some predictions about when it would become mainstream, and it didn't become mainstream when we thought. I mean, it's still a viable concept. And I think the challenge back then is that we were looking at largely a replacement market for those that had already been doing it themselves, because for the mainstream market, it required an architectural shift. And I question whether or not there's going to be a need for that architectural shift in the future. Anything that can complement existing investments but do new and clever things is more marketable and more acceptable for an organization that already has investments. Because there's no such thing as a greenfield anymore. We talk about the greenfield, but it's this mythical place that doesn't exist. Everyone has some degree of investment, some degree of legacy. So I think there is some really interesting innovation going on out there, once again, at the bottom of the marketplace, sort of off the radar screen. Mm-hmm. And you know, here at the Gartner Conference, what was notable to me is, first of all of the small vendors that were actually, you know, showing their wares here that actually had a booth, but probably more interestingly were all the vendors that did not have a booth, that was sort of milling around and talking to people to see what's going on and see if they wanted to be at this event next year. So there is a lot of innovation, and that's why it's not a mature marketplace. You know, in spite of what some people might say with all the consolidation, it's not, because there continues to be substantial investment in some of these new paradigms.
We've heard a lot at the summit this week about operational BI, taking BI to a new population of front-end users. How is the growth of operational BI changing the way companies use their data?
Well, I think they've always done operational BI, if you will, very close, sometimes embedded in existing applications, whether it was manufacturing or supply chain, you know, logistics management. It's always been there to one degree or another. I think the real challenge is to try to deliver on this concept that I call information democracy, and try to tie the strategic and the operational together, because surprisingly there's actually a relationship between those things. I don't think we're doing a very good job. And I think even though I like the idea of operational BI, I like taking a look at all the ways that business intelligence can help an organization perform better, and that sort of leads into a discussion of performance management too, which is built on BI, but I think we're still, for the most part, taking pot shots. And that's why if you go to this, you know, around to the people at this conference and you ask them how far along are they in their evolution towards BI, you'll find it's pretty early days. And the folks that get business intelligence are the ones that either have a budget for it or scream the loudest or, you know, whatever the case may be. And then there are some organizations that have deployed enterprise reporting top-down and it's sort of lowest common denominator stuff and adds some value, but probably not as much as anyone needs. Mm-hmm. So I think we've done, as an industry, done a pretty spotty job. So I think it's great to take a look at operational BI and how it can help, but I would hope that organizations would step back and look at where business intelligence ought to be deployed in its many facets so that we can get people to align with the strategy of the enterprise, so we can coordinate activities, so we can operate more efficiently, and we can start delivering on better transparency and the ever-elusive notion of information democracy.
Will we see significantly more BI users in the next, say, 5 to 10 years? And in terms of your average business user, how important is it to understand BI?
I would hope they wouldn't have to. I mean, that's really the vision for the future, where they don't have to spend a lot of time doing this. It has to become more intuitive and more accessible to them. And forever, and it's not just business intelligence, all software and all systems, we force users to adapt to the system. The problem with that is it's uncomfortable. And then once someone gets, quote-unquote, trained in a particular system and a paradigm, it's very hard to get them to change gears. Whereas you and I can have a conversation, and it's quite natural. And you and I can share information. I can ask you questions. You can ask me questions. And it's very natural. We know how to respond. Well, that's how humans like to interoperate. Why can't we do that with our software? In fact, there was this great video from 1986 from Apple Computer. It was a vision video called The Knowledge Navigator. It's online. You can find it on YouTube. I think it captures where we would like to be in terms of human interface to the software and to the computer systems, but we're still so far away from it, it's disturbing. So it was a great vision video, and they were prescient for sure, but they were probably 30 years off. In any event, I think that we have to make these systems easier, more accessible, more natural, just more integrated into our work style. We shouldn't have to stop to do BI or performance management. It should be a natural flow. And if we really want to get to millions of users, that's what it needs to be. I shouldn't have to formulate a query. In fact, it'd be really nice if an actionable insight found me and told me something that I might not have had cause to expect. Mm-hmm. Right now, what we're doing is we're either asking questions and getting answers back, or maybe we're using alerts, which I can only create an alert for something that I have reason to expect will happen. In the future, we have to transcend that. I think we do need to move to more of a distribution model, but not just information. So they have to be actionable insights, which presupposes a tremendous amount of intelligence on the part of the cloud, if you will, mm-hmm. right behind the end user. But that's ultimately where we have to go to if we want to be successful.
What are your thoughts on Web 2.0 technologies? And is that one way to make BI applications and software easier to use for your average business user?
Well, I think what mashups allow you to do is mix and match things and, in theory, allow the user to build their own applications. And Google in particular, I think, has done some very interesting work in terms of broad-based accessibility and also a degree of innovation. I use some of their stuff, too. I use Google Analytics, and it's pretty cool technology. So I think the Web 2.0 stuff does several things. It certainly improves the usability and the interactivity of the various applications, and probably more importantly, starts to use some of the desktop hardware a little bit more effectively. And when you look at some of the early instantiations of web technology, everything got loaded on the server, and things are still disproportionately loaded onto the server and don't take advantage of the desktop, and the cost has been extreme. So I think achieving greater balance is probably a good thing. But making things, while centrally managed, more usable, more responsive to the end users is always a good thing. And of course, with the promise of web services and SOA, in theory, we'll be able to do greater mix and match. I think in practice, it has to be a little bit more deliberate than that. So I think it's a great vision. I think it's a great fodder for marketing pieces. People love to talk about this brave new world where you can combine anything with anything and create wonderful new applications. Okay, well, what about things like data interchange? How do we do that? So it has to be a little bit more deliberate than that. And some of the data interchange standards like XBRL are early days, but I think if we really want to have a completely democratized world of applications, it has to be a lot more deliberate than that.
Mm-hmm. You've written a book about it and say that corporate performance management is essentially taking BI to the next level. So just how does CPM fit into the BI world?
Well, I don't call it corporate performance management. When I was a Gartner, I called it corporate performance management. Then I went to Hyperion, and they called it business performance management. So I got trained to call it business performance management. And now that I'm on my own, I call it enterprise performance management because it's just easier. It's all-encompassing. And we want to do these things at an enterprise level, and that includes corporate, and it includes the various functions, you know, finance and sales and marketing. So everybody needs to be doing performance management. How does BI fit into that? Well, you can't do performance management without BI. It's a, kind of a critical foundational item, but it goes beyond that. It really takes the planning and control cycle and couples it to it. And I use this notion of the management system in the book and talk about how we automate or improve the management function, because we've spent so much time and energy automating the operations. And we've been very operationally focused. And sometimes, I mean, in many ways we've done a good job. In some ways we've created even greater fragmentation by doing so, but we haven't really given management the tools that they need to do their job. And the management really does four things. They focus on the vision and the strategy. They set goals and objectives. They're responsible for driving the execution. And then at the end of that execution cycle, they ought to evaluate how things worked out. And then feed that right back into the vision and the strategy, certainly the strategy. And all organizations have one of these management systems, if you will. It's just most of them aren't that good. It's very spotty. It's not unusual to have a strategy which it's disconnected from the goals and objectives and the execution. As a sales guy, you're going to execute based on what you know works. It may or may not be aligned with the strategy because you don't care. These guys are coin-operated. They're going to make money any way they can. So the notion of performance management or enterprise performance management is to link these things together to make them consistent and harmonious and transparent. So being able to go through a vetting process with the strategy and make sure that the goals and objectives that we set are in fact reasonable and we can actually execute on these things. And then putting a plan in place which says this is what we're going to do and we're all going to commit to this and we're all going to be held accountable to it before we go into execution. So now when I go into execution, this is where business intelligence really comes into play. Now I can do my monitoring and my measuring and my reporting to make sure that I tune my execution so that I achieve those goals and objectives. And then at the end of that execution period, then I want to do a more in-depth evaluation and analysis. And once again, that's business intelligence. More sophisticated analytics and modeling capabilities and predictive capabilities so that I can alter my strategy in a more useful and productive way. And that's really, I think, where we need to move forward in this industry with. And I think that business intelligence, of course, is critical to that. But we're adding a couple of elements around the sort of the scenarios and the modeling and planning. I mean, planning is the centerpiece of performance management. You can't have performance management without planning.
And finally, for our BI customers out there, what words of advice would you have for them as they traverse this increasingly complex BI landscape?
Well, at the end of the day, success or failure has little to do with the technology. But it's easy to buy tools, right? That's an easy decision. We can find a vendor, find a tool, get excited about it, show it to a user, and go out and buy it. And it's not going to solve your problem. In some ways, it's going to exacerbate it. You really need to move towards a performance culture. That's hard to do, right? Because we as human beings don't like to change very much. But it really does require change. We need to change the way that we use information and the way that we share information in an organization. So it's about culture, and it's about organization, it's about politics, and also about methodology and skills and all that stuff. And typically, to do it right, you really need the people at the top to believe in it, not just to sponsor an initiative. Sponsorship is here's some money, make it go away. You want somebody that actually owns it. And very often you see organizations embrace the notion of performance management and business intelligence when you have generational change. So you have a new CEO that comes on board, and he or she understand the value of this methodology, if you will. I don't want to call it technology. Technology is simply an enabler, but it's a whole new methodology and philosophy. And then really cool things can start to happen. So I guess the essential point here is that it's not about technology. It's about sort of the soft things, the human side of it, that either makes us successful, makes us unsuccessful. And you can blame the technology if you want, but we all know the truth. It's not the technology's fault. Now, there are certainly things you can do with the technology to help once you have all those other things in place and you understand how you're going to achieve performance management and business intelligence, and you can start to reduce numbers of technologies. But buying another technology is not necessarily going to make you successful.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Howard.
You're welcome, Jeff. It's a pleasure.
And thank you for listening. From the Gartner BI Summit in Chicago, I'm Jeff Kelly. We'll be right back.